Do you remember when the TV announcer used to break in on the TV and say, "We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you this important message," which is almost always bad news, right? Today we are interrupting the green flow of the season after Pentecost with the joyous white feast of Saint Mary the Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. On a dreary sort of, I don't know, iffy weather day, tropical storm of one kind or one name or another in and around. In a time when COVID has broken through again to worry us, to frustrate us, to anger us even, and to make us put on these darn masks again. This interruption of the feast of St. Mary is most welcome indeed. Some portions of the Church Universal routinely venerate the Blessed Virgin Mary. They say or sing the Hail Mary, the Angelus, and Regina Coeli prayers. Some churches keep shrines or statues. Some make pilgrimages to places where she is believed to have appeared, and they observe additional feasts in her honor. But the whole church honors her above every human being because she is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is, quite literally, the mother of God. Now let that mind-blowing mystery sink in for just a minute. And we should notice the effect Mary's yes to her call into this role has on Mary herself. Rather than feeling burdened by the weight, oh, the great weight of that responsibility, as we might expect, she is filled with joy. It is counterintuitive, perhaps, that taking on difficult things, like leading a ministry or tithing, for instance, would bring us joy. But Mary's yes demonstrates that joy comes when we give ourselves over to the divine purpose. At the discovery of her divine purpose, Mary sings her ecstatic song, the Magnificat. There is no greater joy, satisfaction, or peace in this life than saying yes to the divine purpose in our lives. Mary sang not because the project was easy, nor for glory or self-interest, but now here's the key point. She sang because her yes put her in alignment with the divine will. In that way, Mary is a perfect role model for us. Mary has a divine purpose, and so do each one of us. In its most general terms, our purpose is to hold and to nurture the Christ within our souls, and then to share that love with the world, with everyone else. We, like Mary, are called to bear Christ into the world. More specifically, we know God's purposes through Holy Scripture. That's why it's crucial absolutely essential to our walk in faith that we all belong to a Bible study group. In Holy Scripture, we learn about the divine will. Without it, without attention to Holy Scripture, we're apt to substitute, may I say, we are bound to substitute our own will for God's. And that is a fatal, tragic mistake. Mary's song refers to some of these essential and eternal principles of the divine will. She says, God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. We say imagination of their hearts in the version in evening prayer. It means that humility is the way in. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones. There can be no idols, no other gods beside him. He has lifted up the lowly. Whoever is downtrodden, whoever is downcast, our God is a God of mercy. And God has filled the hungry with good things. So we feed the biologically hungry food, and good food at that. And the spiritually hungry, we feed the best food of all, the gospel. Now this last one's a doozy, so hold on to your hat. He has sent the rich away empty. Oh boy. As my homiletics professor used to say, you've gone from preaching and into meddling. He has sent the rich away empty. In other words, if we're rich, and many of us here are, then God has nothing for us if we're stingy with it. We are in danger of missing God's blessing if we don't give a goodly portion for those in need. This particular line is challenging to the wealthy, as much of the gospel tends to be. There's a burden there, and I have a great deal of sympathy for it. Thomas Noble, a famous organist and composer of St. Thomas Fifth Avenue in New York City, was once offered a commission by a wealthy patron to create a new arrangement for the Magnificat, but on just one condition, that he leave out this line about the rich going away empty. And to Noble's credit, he declined the commission. How we go about bearing Christ into the world is what we call stewardship. We are in accord with God's will when the stewardship of our lives aligns with the divine principles of justice and mercy. Committing ourselves and our resources toward these principles is our purpose. And that looks surprisingly, wonderfully, beautifully different for each and every one of us, because the gifts we've been given are all unique to us and different. Our stewardship is represented liturgically at the offertory. Now, sometimes maybe we don't pay attention to this, but when we bring forward the gifts and we've added to that ceremony, make it a more complete ceremony. But at the offertory, we bring forward these gifts, these offerings of bread and wine and water and money and donations. These things we offer represent our whole, they represent, they are not obviously our entire gift to God, but they represent our whole life's labor and love as lived out in our daily stewardship. As Father Fred likes to say, the reason we do it symbolically is because there's not room for all of us on top of the altar. Can you picture that? Like a phone booth full of people. So we do it that way. But that doesn't mean it is a mere token. It is a real representation of what we mean to do. They're then placed on the altar, and the priest asks God to bless them, to make of our stewardship something greater, to magnify them, to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. When our stewardship is aligned with the divine purpose, we always experience joy. Mark Twain once wrote that the two best days in our lives are the day we're born and the day we discover our purpose. So, today's a day of celebration and purpose. Mary has done something only she could do. She brought our precious Lord into the world and mothered him. We celebrate that. We venerate her. Thank you. Thank you, God, for Mary. Thank you, Mary. But Mary has also modeled how all of us can discover our purpose, commit to it, and receive the blessing of joy. And I just want to close with this. My dad loves Mary Poppins. Do you know Mary Poppins, the Disney? I was shocked to see how popular it was. When it came out, it was enormously popular. And my dad took me to see it played on the London stage when I was a young man. My dad always saw in Mary Poppins a form of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Her popping in at dark times to cheer and heal is very much like Our Lady. Since then, I've always watched and listened to that wonderful Disney movie. By the way, not a bad idea for a dreary day. With that in mind, and it always makes me very happy. There is a song called Jolly Holiday. Do you know it? Which I especially like. See if it doesn't sound just like Saint Mary, and whether it might lift your spirit just a little bit too. And I'm not going to do it in Cockney, so don't worry. Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light. Whether the day is gray and ordinary, Mary makes the sunshine bright. Oh, happiness is blooming all around her. The daffodils are smiling at the dove. When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band. Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.